Welcome to Talking to the Professors at Austin Health.
Hello, welcome to the Austin Hospital's podcast series. I'm Professor Jeffrey Zajac. I'm head of the Division of Medicine here at the Austin and Professor of Medicine at the University of Melbourne. I'd like to introduce Professor Lindsay Grayson, who is head of the Infectious Diseases Service at the Austin and also has an appointment at the University of Melbourne. Today we're going to talk about infectious diseases. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi.
Several weeks ago, the New York Times reported that you did a study showing that if you washed your hands or used hand lotion, you could get rid of flu germs on the skin. Is that correct?
That's right. So not only is it good for bacteria, but it's also good for viruses like flu virus.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, because actually, although everyone thinks that you catch flu just by people sneezing on you, there's growing evidence that it's also transmitted on your hands and dirty handkerchiefs and other objects like that. And so washing hands is important in terms of transmission of whether it's bugs, whether it's flu or whether it's bacteria.
So is there a particular way to do it?
No, actually what our study showed, ironically, was that soap and water was just as good as alcohol-based hand rub. But in the hospital where soap and water hand washing is a bit less practical just because we're moving from patient to patient, that alcohol rub works just as well as soap and water.
Now, I notice in our hospital there's little bottles of alcohol gel everywhere.
That's right, and that's the aim. It should be no more than 1 metre away from wherever you are. And so that's why in the hospital it's on the foot of every bed and on the entrance to every room, and that's the aim with this big new national hand hygiene program which we're rolling out, that will be the case for all Australian hospitals.
And do we know if it works?
Oh, absolutely. So both here at the Austin and then subsequently in a large statewide rollout of all 85 hospitals in Victoria, there was a greater than 50% reduction in golden staph infection rates associated with the use of alcohol-based hand rub. The rates are still too high, but the evidence currently is that they're continuing to decrease. And this is largely related to the use of this product, alcohol-based hand rub. There are lots of different products, but that's essentially them.
Now, you mentioned golden staph. Now, this is a bug that's been around for many, many years. Why is it such an issue now?
I think it's mainly an issue now because back in the late 70s and early 80s, we didn't pay enough attention to it. And there was a sense that it was inevitable that it was going to spread and that we didn't need to spend too much time worrying about it. Well, what has happened, it has spread. And so Australia now has some, you know, pretty high rates of staph infections, as there are occurring all around the world. And so it's basically got into the hospitals and is a major problem. And I think with the intensity of our hospitals getting busier and the patients getting sicker and our ability to treat leukemias and all these other serious diseases which previously knocked you off but now are able to save people, we're dealing with patients whose immune systems are weaker, who are living better lives, but obviously a bit more prone to picking up these sort of superbugs. And so the setup has been that, you know, these germs that are in the hospital can cause a lot of problems. So we need to sort of return to basics, and alcohol rub and hand washing your hands, same with good cleaning and so forth, are things that we used to spend a lot of time focusing on before we had antibiotics. And in the last, you know, when you think that penicillin was only invented in 1942, you know, it's only been 60 years of antibiotics. Prior to that, there was a lot of emphasis on these basic things, and that's what we need to return to.
Now, this is a bug that we all have on our hands and in our noses and other places on our skin. What's new? Why is it a problem now?
Well, Staph aureus is on our skin. What's new is this new resistance strain, or what we call methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, or MRSA. And that's a problem for two reasons. Firstly, there's a hospital strain that's very resistant to most of the commonly used antibiotics. And now there's increasingly there's a community strain, which is slightly different, but it's also resistant to many of the commonly used antibiotics. So the reason this is important is previously, if you got a cut on your hand when you were gardening or whatever and it became infected, you'd go to your GP and they would give you routine penicillin-type antibiotics and would fix it. But now these strains are resistant to that, and so that's causing issues.
Normally when you have an infection with golden staph, the doctor treats you with one antibiotic. So what is the problem with these drug-resistant bugs?
Well, the main problem is that the usual drugs that we would use don't work on them. And so we either have to use one of the newer drugs that are available, which work, but they're more expensive, and also they have a much higher side effect rate, so therefore causing their own problems. But they work, but it's more complicated. So the interesting thing with these germs is quite often they're in themselves are actually wimpier germs, but because you're in hospital and you've had an operation or you've got cancer or whatever, when you pick them up, they're harder to get rid of if they're multi-resistant, because we have to use these more complex drugs.
And why are they called multi-resistant? Because they're resistant to a lot of different antibiotics?
Exactly. So usually they're not just resistant to one. Once they get resistant to one, they quickly become resistant to five or six antibiotics. So it knocks out a whole lot of the treatment options that we'd otherwise have to cure them.
And so if you're a sick person in hospital and you've got one of these bugs, what's it likely to do to you?
Well, usually it will just be a wound infection, but occasionally it can be more serious and spread into the blood or into the urine and cause, you know, bloodstream infection or septicemia, as we call it. And obviously that's incredibly serious and means that almost always you'll need antibiotics into the vein to cure it.
And once you've got this bug all over your body, are there ways to get rid of it? Or is it
depends on the germ, but for golden staph, yes. So there are antiseptics we can get you to use as a soap and clear it from your skin, and ointment put in your nose to clear it from your nose, which is a common site for carrying this germ. So, yes, you can be what we would call decolonised, but obviously you have to recognise that you are colonised in the first place. That requires special tests and so forth.
So now they call these bugs superbugs. Is that because they're extra aggressive or...?
It depends, but in general, actually, the germs themselves are actually more wimpy than the previous strains, but what is super about them is that they're resistant to the antibiotics we would normally treat. So from the point of view of MRSA, it mainly affects people with weakened immune systems rather than otherwise healthy people. But when it does start to cause infections, it's trickier to control.
And if you get one of these bugs, is there treatment that works?
Yes, yes. So we're lucky in that there have been a number of new drugs that have been developed over the last few years. So the infections are quite treatable. The problem is that the new drugs that we need to use are more expensive and also have a higher side effect rate than the drugs we would have previously used. And so they're more complex to use, but there's treatment available.
So are we developing antibiotics faster than the bugs are changing? Or
no.
Or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. So unfortunately, there's been pretty much a massive decline in the antibiotic development market in the last 10 years, both for superbugs like golden staph but other germs. And this is going to be a problem that we're going to have to face in the next 10 years, that for the first time since 1942, we're now going to start facing infections which are untreatable with antibiotics. And that's already occurring, and you know it's something that's going to increase, and it's a reason why we need to return to basics.
So in the long run, the bugs are going to win?
I don't think the bugs will win, but I think that we need to be less flippant in our use of antibiotics, and we need to be more considered and go back to looking at some of these sensible things like hand hygiene and cleaning.
So are there other types of germs which are resistant to antibiotics that we need to worry about?
Yes, there are. There's some bowel-type germs which are also learning to become resistant, and they're really a major issue. For those bowel germs, a lot of that relates to resistance developing in the bugs are in food, and so we eat the food and then gain the resistance. And this relates back to the use of antibiotics in food-producing animals. So, for instance, in some poorer countries, they're producing chicken and pork and beef and so forth, where the animals have been fed antibiotics to try and make them grow quicker, but the result of that has been the emergence of resistance.
Now, TB has become resistant to antibiotics too.
It has.
What are we going to do about that?
This is a major problem. It's a major problem for two reasons. One is obviously that TB in itself, the treatment of it is becoming more complicated, and we just simply don't have the additional drugs to cure it. And the second thing is that a lot of the patients who are getting multi-drug resistant TB also have HIV infections. So in Africa and Southeast Asia, where these multi-drug resistant or now extensively drug resistant or XDR TB, as we call it, many of those patients have also got HIV infections, so have weakened immune systems, they're in a poor setting, can't afford the drugs, and so the resistance gets worse. So this is really a key issue for worldwide about XDR-TB, and it's affecting Australia also, both with immigrants who are coming in, but also within Australia and the spread of resistance.
So are we doing enough research on these drug-resistant types of germs?
I don't think you can ever do enough research on this, and in the case of TB, it's particularly complex because it's a slow-growing germ and it's hard to do the research. But there needs to be more focus on this because the XDR-TB is going to be the new black, if you like, for the next 10 years. It's going to be a really big issue, not just for HIV-affected populations, but also for other populations like the Australian population.
So if you've got this bug, can you get rid of it, or have you got it forever?
You can get rid of it, but the rate of cure is substantially less. So normally with sensitive TB, we have a 97 to 99% cure rate. With these XDR-TB cases, the cure rate's only about 60%, and if you're HIV infected, it's about 20%. So this is a big deal.
Now, another new germ has been the new flu virus. Is this very different from the other flu viruses or just a minor variation?
No, it's a fairly major difference. It's a combination of a human strain with a swine or pig strain and some components of the avian strain. And it's the combination of those that makes it more aggressive. I mean, it's interesting because normally influenza affects the very young and the very old, whereas this strain is now affecting people between 15 and 25, a group that normally wouldn't be terribly affected, and yet it's causing a lot of trouble there. So I suppose there's two sides of it. It's obviously very infectious in this age group. A lot of people are getting it. On the good side of it, though, that it's the death rate from it and the hospitalisation rate from it is much, much less than what was initially predicted. And so for most people, that's been part of the problem with controlling it, that it has a huge variety of presentations from a minor sniffle right through to, you know, severe disease causing intensive care admission. But fortunately, for most people who are otherwise healthy, it's really just a normal case of the flu.
And if you get this flu and you get sick, is there treatment available?
Yes, there is. So at the moment, there's two forms of antivirals that can be used, and we know that this shortens the illness in patients who, as long as you get started on the drugs very early. For people who are in intensive care and so forth, we use them reliably. Increasingly, there's a couple of products coming on the market now that are available intravenously, so you can have it into the vein if you're very sick, and we've used that on some patients here at the Austin with great success.
So on that positive note, we'll stop here, and thank you, Lindsay, for participating.
My pleasure.
That was Talking with the Professors at Austin Health.